Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Essence Magazine February 2018 edition. So on the cover of the article, we have Ava DuVernay, Oprah Winfrey, and Storm. And we're going to cover this section of them, and they're going to be in a movie called A Wrinkle in Time. So let's pick up where we left off from last week, and we were discussing Jemele Hill, which she is ESPN's, she is an ESPN host, and some of the issues that she had to go through in 2018. And just to recap, last year she should have been one of her happiest times in her life. After working at ESPN for 20 years, she was promoted to Sports Center, and she on the campus of Bristol, Connecticut, which that's where ESPN is located at. And it's also talked, or we also talked about that she was born and raised in Detroit. She was raised by her grandmother because her mother battled with substance abuse. And she started at ESPN back in 2006. She was hired as a columnist for ESPN.com. And that's where she grew her fan base and tilt the respect of ESPN's top brass, her coworkers, and her peers. So let's, you know, that's just a recap of what we talked about last week, so let's just continue on. So it appeared everything was going well until back in September of 2017. That's when Hill sent a series of tweets, one of which said, "President Donald Trump is the most ignorant, offensive president of my lifetime. His rise is a direct result of white supremacy, period." Although there are numerous examples that seem to illustrate this description, attesting that Mexican immigrants are rapists who contribute nothing but drugs and crime to our country, and laying the blame on many sides during the violent protest in Charlottesville, Virginia. Hill was lambasted by White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who said, "This is one of the most outrageous comments anyone could make, and certainly something that I think is a fireable offense by ESPN. The intersection of sports, race, and politics is nothing new. In fact, it's even more poignant these days as more athletes voice their concerns about the direction our country is going in." And while Hill was hired for her deaf sports analyst, she certainly isn't the only journalist to publicly criticize the president. So why was she singled out? And this is a quote from her. "I have thought about that so many times because I wasn't the first person to say it," admits Hill with resolve, sitting in a conference room at ESPN headquarters. "This is factual evidence to support what I said. So I was very surprised by the reaction," end quote. While she stands behind her statements, Hill does believe she was targeted by the White House because of where she works. After all, her role as a commentator at ESPN is to criticize the game, not our current leader. But in deja vu moment, Hill found herself in the middle of another Twitter-induced firestorm just a few weeks later. This time, her tweets were in response to a threat made by Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, who said he would bench any of his players disrespecting the American flag, a notion erroneously linked to several ballers who had recently knelt in protest during the national anthem. Hill's tweet suggested that NFL fans boycott Jones' sponsors, citing that change happens when advertisers are impacted. Her actions were in defiance of the social media policy of ESPN, which is owned by the Walt Disney Company. And she was immediately suspended, sending shockwaves throughout the country and the web. While I don't believe in regrets, I believe there is an opportunity to learn from every situation, even if it's a painful one, says Hill. My suspension was certainly awkward at times. I remember the first day walking into a restaurant and seeing myself on both Fox News and CNN. I'm used to being seen on ESPN, but to have people outside of the sports bubble talking about me as a walking think piece was weird. As is the case when you experience something difficult, you have to cling to those who love and support you the most. At the top of that list is her co-host and confidant, Michael Smith, who, following the announcement of Hill's suspension, refused to appear on the SC6 broadcast without her. Her mentor, Jeanette Howard, an award-winning author and sports columnist, immediately advised Hill simply to ignore the noise swirling around her. Jamel has been through some rough times and found herself at junctures in life where she had to choose who she is, says Howard, who has known Hill for more than 25 years. When I first met her, I was struck by her obvious intelligence and sense of self-possession. Even then, she knew who she was, and she wasn't going to let the world distort her. When it comes to sports commentary, Hill and Smith are at the forefront of what's fresh, authentic, and exciting. This experience may have raised her public profile, but that was never her intention. Moving past the suspension and notoriety, Hill has a newfound desire to be more true to herself as an individual, a Black woman, and a professional. I have a firmer understanding of who I am. I have always been a self-aware person, but you don't know what you are made of until that test actually comes, says Hill. Now I feel like I've gained clarity. When you are thrown into the fire in this kind of way, you figure out very quickly exactly what you're about. Be kind. Rewind. Here are some of Jamel's most memorable moments over the past year. Starting with February 2017, Hill and ESPN co-host Michael Smith take their love of Black culture and passion for all things sports from their show His and Her to Sports Center, much coveted, to the 6 p.m. time slot. And then in March 2017, in the cutest parody ever, Hill and Smith persuade several original cast members from the hit TV show A Different World to join them in the recreating the comedy's famous intro as a promo spot for their new show, hashtag classic. In September 2017, Trump is the most, this is what, you know, a quote from Donald Trump on his Twitter page, and it reads as follows. ESPN is paying a really big price for its politics and bad programming. People are dumping it in record numbers. Apologize for untruth. And then Janelle responded to this by saying, quote, Trump is the most ignorant, offensive president of my lifetime. His rise is a direct result of white supremacy, period, is one of the three quotes from the Hill that started the backlash against her on social media, end quote. And then October 2017, after a series of tweets about Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, Hill was officially suspended for 2 weeks. ESPN believed she had violated the company's social media guidelines for the second time. And then in November 2017 and beyond, that's where celebs who are fans of Hill respond to her suspension by publicly rallying on Twitter using hashtag I stand with Jamel. From Gabrielle Union to Common to Eric Dyson, folks gave rousing support for Hill's right to free speech that rang loud and proud. And then another thing that's not actually written in this article, and I'm assuming that, you know, this the February edition was already written before this time, but Jamel, she since has left, or she's she left SportsCenter. And I think she's going to do some, she's still going to remain with ESPN, but she's going to do some other things instead of SportsCenter. I think she's going to go back to writing, that kind of thing, et cetera. And just, she's still going to be on some of the other shows, just not on the time slot with the His and Hers, the SportsCenter that's at 6 p.m. So that's just the update from that. And then let's go on to another article. This article is actually the cover of this magazine, and this is called A Difference or A Different World, with imaginary universe at her fingertips and megastar Oprah Winfrey and newcomer Storm Reid by her side. Acclaimed director Ava DuVernay brings A Wrinkle in Time to life next month. So boundless, undeniable magic. That's the only way to describe award-winning filmmaker Ava DuVernay. Media mogul Oprah Winfrey and talented rookie Storm Reid coming together for the Disney feature A Wrinkle in Time, about a girl who traverses the galaxy to find her father and save the universe. DuVernay made history even before shooting the first frame of the film, which is based on the 1962 science fiction novel by Madeleine L'Engle. The highly anticipated vehicle marks the first time a woman of color has been entrusted to direct a movie that costs upward $100 million, and in the middle of it all is a 13-year-old black girl. It would have been probably blown my It would have probably blown my head off just to see it, Winfrey says, when asked if she could have imagined something like Wrinkle being on the silver screen when she was growing up in rural Mississippi. I can't. But now other 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds and 10-year-olds and 14-year-olds and grown people will see it and will have the impression of what is possible. And that impression of what is possible will live inside them. With the exception of movies such as Eve's Value, Annie, Aquila and the Bee, and the animated flick Home, centering a major motion picture on a little brown girl is rare in Hollywood, but it was the only way DuVernay would take on the project. I'm here to do something specific, The Queen Sugar Helmer says, explaining that she's only interested in telling inclusive stories that highlight people of color. However, at first, Wrinkle didn't seem to fit her mission. I would have never thought of myself for this. I would never thought about it. Looked at it. I'd never read the book, the director explains. Despite DuVernay's initial hesitation about adapting L'Engle's story for the big screen, Tendo Nagenda, executive vice president of production at Walt Disney Studios, insisted DuVernay keep an open mind and just read the novel. When she did, everything changed. I read it, and of course, as any reader, you put yourself in the book. You see people that you know inhabiting the world, DuVernay says. So when I went in to talk to him about it, I said, this is how I see it. I see this as being multicultural, even down to the main character. I'm like, she's got to be brown. Disney didn't even flinch at DuVernay's reimagining of L'Engle's narrative. In fact, the director said they expected her to create a film full of characters from diverse backgrounds. Though the studio was on board with her intention to make Wrinkle look like the real world, Nagenda challenged DuVernay to go even further. He said, beyond the people, imagine the world, Ava. You get to create worlds, create whole planets, she recalls. Before Wrinkle, DuVernay had not worked on a project employing a lot of visual effects, though she'd used them on a smaller scale to increase the size of a crowd or edit out something in the frame on Selma and Queen Sugar. For instance, the world building in this intergalactic film called for the director to learn an entirely new language. The visual effects were taken up to another level. We were creating things from scratch, she says. The first meetings I went into, I was like, I'm just going to sit here because I really don't understand what those five words they just said are. But I'll know by the next meeting. I wouldn't go out and go learn them on my own. I'd say, teach me that. What is that? What do you just say? I don't have any problems with saying I want to learn and just being a quick study. I just watched The Wizard of Oz again last year with one of my godchildren who was seeing it for the first time. And the magic of that is exactly what Wrinkle is going to be for another generation, Winfrey says. According to the own founder, whose blessing often means certain success, Reed, now 14, will be a bright light for young people. Sometimes I'd be watching her on set and would really tear up at her performance because she will become for her this generation what Judy Garland's Dorothy and The Wizard of Oz was for previous generations. Winfrey says she gets to be that. This little Stormy, our little Stormy, gets to carry that on for generations to come. She gets to be that light for girls like herself. Such pronouncements could make anyone panic, but not Reed. I had a little pressure when we first started the movie. When we were filming, I wasn't thinking generations and generations are going to love it. I was nervous because it was my first leading role, the teen says. This is a huge milestone in my career. To be in a movie with Ava DuVernay directing and Miss Oprah being in it, when I think about it, I don't really know how to feel. There are so many emotions, but it's just a great blessing that will never or will forever change my life. Despite starring in a Disney film alongside major movie stars, the Atlanta native is incredibly grounded thanks to the constant guidance of her mother, Robin Simpson. Winfrey asserts that Reed has been brought up to be confident, humble, and well-mannered. DuVernay echoes Winfrey's praise of the young actress. This girl is a generational talent, the filmmaker says. This girl is 14 years old. She's not a kid who gets lucky with a performance. You couldn't just have a kid who could come in and say the lines well. The person has to be a deep-rooted, real actor, and Storm was the one. While Reed impressed DuVernay during her audition, the teen was almost unable to be in the film due to a prior commitment to a Disney Channel project. But the director was undaunted. Ava fought for her. Winfrey explains, I remember when they put out the search all around the world, and then I remember when Ava said, we found her, but she's with Disney. Ava went to the higher ups and she fought for her and said, I want her. First answer was no, but she wouldn't take no for an answer. She hung in there and she fought for her. Many directors would have simply cast someone else in the role, but DuVernay refused to let Reed slip through her fingers. I couldn't see anyone else besides her in my own head and hearts once I saw her audition, she says. She was so perfect in the role. The term hashtag black girl magic is thrown around quite a bit these days, but Wrinkle actually personifies it. But even more than that, DuVernay says the epic is her ode to black women and girls. I so want black women to love it and black girls to love it. I want everybody to love it. But this is a love letter to us, she says. This is me trying to make us in a way we haven't been rendered in a film before as a firmly centered hero in a fantasy about other worlds and as the saviors of the whole universe, looking at everything we think we're not. And at the end of the movie, we are all of everything. Reed hopes other youngsters will feel affirmed after watching her character Meg transform from an awkward teen who lacks self-confidence into a powerful heroine whose bravery and love of her family rescues the world. I just want people to have more confidence when they leave the movie theater and love themselves and know that they are okay. She says, know you are a beautiful black girl and with big curly hair, with a big nose or not, just love yourself and know that you are perfect just the way you are. Winfrey, who admitted to enjoying simply being an actress, not a producer or a network honcho or the boss during the filming of Wrinkles, says she believes the film can serve as a lesson for the divisive times in which we currently live. Being able to sound the alarm to the rest of the planet, the darkness is spreading so fast. And how rage leads to violence, and violence begats war, and war begats catastrophes. It sounds as if we're talking about what's happening in our world right now. She says, noting her role of Miss Witch, who is a manifestation of her life's mission to bring positivity into the world. I feel like I called that, and even when I didn't know I was calling it, and that it was obviously meant to be. In spite of its positive themes and backing by Disney, it's hard to deny the pressure is on DuVernay to deliver a blockbuster. Future projects by the director, who's extremely outspoken about the need for more women and people of color to be given a chance in Hollywood, may be judged unfairly as a result of Wrinkles' performance. Still, DuVernay, who's had a string of achievements, including an award-winning TV series and an Emmy-winning documentary, 13th, isn't stressed about Wrinkles' prospects. I feel pressured with everything I put out, DuVernay admits. To cope, she says, she draws on advice from her father. Worrying is useless energy. Whenever those feelings come, and of course they come, I just push them away because it's not helping me. And I got things to do, she adds. Like her Wrinkle cohorts, DuVernay has already moved on to the next thing. She's researching and writing a documentary about the Central Park Five while preparing for season 3 of Queen Sugar. Reed has started working on the feature Only You, which co-stars David Oyelowo, I hope I just said his name correctly, and Winfrey is busy running her network, sifting through acting roles and adding items to her That's Good Food Line. Juggling so many projects means the outstanding director doesn't have time to agonize over whether her project will be a hit. Look, some of this stuff's not going to resonate, and I'm going to put all my eggs in the basket of the things that resonate or the things that don't, she says. I'm just going to keep working. DuVernay also refuses to get hung up on the fact that she's the first black female director to experience this level of success and acclaim in Hollywood. When I'm introduced as the first this, first that, it sounds like Charlie Brown's mom to me. It doesn't mean anything to me. It's not anything I earned, she says. I don't allow myself to talk it in like it's real. I'm trying to have all of us up in there and more. I don't want to be someplace by myself. I don't want to be on a pedestal as the first this and that. That's so whack. That is the old way of thinking. Still, whether or not Wrinkle is a success, Winfrey says it's destined to touch audiences. It's going to reach the people, or the right people, she says, explaining that while they were filming in New Zealand, a native tribe blessed the land they were using. I just remember looking up and thinking, oh, wow, this whole movie will be infused with energy of this. We're starting in the right space. We're doing this the absolute way, right way, by honoring the land and the people who were here before us first. So I know it will reach the right people. It will reach the people who are supposed to be here. And that was a good article. So let's move on to another article. And it's just so many good articles in this section. Not that they're always, you know, they're, you know, never good articles in the magazine, but, you know, this particular month, and I don't know if it's, you know, because of Black History, but it's, they have a lot of good information. So the next section that we're going to cover is money and power. Take it to the next level. 5 business coaches weigh in with 10 game-changing career tips you can implement now. So when it's time to move up in your career, many experts and mentors suggest enlisting a business coach to help you push past blind spots and notions that can keep you from being your best self. And for good reason, outside counsel can assist in strategically navigating your road to success, whether it's climbing the corporate ladder or striking out on your own. It all starts with knowing your worth. You were a set of phenomenal traits that make up who you are authentically, says Lenore Champagne Brené, founder of Bright Coaching. She spent 10 plus years working with startup creators. You can harness those good things in you to produce any result you desire. If you can focus more on what is fantastic about you and less on the things that hold you back, you will be able to access a level of peace and power that may feel inaccessible right now. While that may seem easier said than done, we've asked 5 coaches what's worked for their clients. Get ready to put the advice into practice and see big payoff. Let's get started. So, because we're short on time, I'm going to, you know, provide you with the 5, some of the 5 things that the coaches have said, and then we're going to cover them more in depth on the next section, next week. So ditch the 5-year plan. It's number 1. Number 2, stop treating networking like a transaction. Number 3, limit your backup strategy. Number 4, imagine your perfect day. And finally, number 5, prioritize your well-being. So with number 1, ditch the 5-year plan. Instead, figure out what you're really trying to achieve. Beyond just a title, oftentimes people aren't chasing a job as much as they're chasing a feeling, says Paulina Reed, co-founder of New Girl on the Block, a mentorship program and consultancy for female entrepreneurs. So based on what the feeling is, you can reverse engineer it. What kind of funding or resources do you require? Do you need additional education? Should you grow your list of mentors or do more informational interviews? Homing in on the feeling you're seeking will make it easier for you to reach your potential, and you'll be more satisfied when you get there. So that was number 1, and we'll go over the next 4 next week, because it looks like we've run out of time for today's session of Ebony or Essence Magazine, February 2018 edition. We hope that you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Nicole Hunter, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradioreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.